This program has been made possible by the friends and partners of Joyce Meyer Ministries.
But you do it day after day after day after day after year after year after year. And all of a sudden, you'll be sitting somewhere telling people, I don't really know what happened in my life, but I'm so satisfied. You know, it sounds crazy, but I just feel like I get everything I want. God's interesting in that He doesn't create us to where we can't do what's wrong. He creates us to where we can do what's right, or we can do what's wrong. It's up to us. He doesn't want a bunch of robots and puppets. He wants us to choose Him. We are to use our free will to choose His will. Come on. God tells you what His will is, and then He said, and I set before you life and death. You choose. Joshua said, choose you this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Well, Lucifer said, I will, I will, I will, I will. And God said, no, you won't. In Luke 10:18, the Bible says that Jesus saw Satan fall like lightning flash from heaven. He was kicked out of heaven. And like it or not, his dwelling place is here in the earth and the atmosphere above the earth, between here and heaven. Now, some of you are like, whoa, why are we talking about the devil? Well, let me tell you something. I went to church for a lot of years, and I never heard a good sermon on the devil. I mean, I thought that he was some dude that came out on Halloween in red pajamas with a long tail and a pitchfork. I had no idea that he was the author of destruction in my life, and that I had been given authority and power over him in the name of Jesus, and that I didn't have to just lay down and let the devil walk all over me. And so I want to tell you tonight that Satan is alive and well on planet Earth. Now, the earth doesn't belong to him. It belongs to God and the fullness thereof. But he is temporarily infecting the world's systems. And the system that the world goes by is, you deserve it, get it for yourself, and if you don't do it for yourself, then nobody else will. Amen. Baby, we've come a long way. And we have to fight against that and say, no, that's not God's will for me. That's what Satan wants me to do. And if I spend my life trying to take care of myself, then I'll miss what God wants to do for me. Let me tell you something. God can take better care of you than you could ever take of yourself. He can open doors for you that you could never open. He can close doors that will keep you out of trouble. God can give you favor everywhere that you go. Stop trying to push doors open and ask God to give you favor everywhere you go. When you go in to apply for a job, don't try to impress them with your greatness. I mean, do a good interview. Share your skills, but go in. God, if you don't give me this job, I ain't gonna get it. I need your favor. I need you to make them like me. That's what it means to have favor from God. God makes people like you, and they don't even know why they like you. They just do. Now, I'm all over that, because I spent too many years of my life finagling around trying to get in the right groups of people. I don't want to play those games anymore. Job 1:7, and the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in it. 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, roams around like a lion, roaring in fierce hunger, seeking whom he may devour. Well, guess what? It's not going to be us anymore. I said, guess what? It's not going to be us anymore. Devil, you're going to have to go get another lunch. It's not going to be me. Because I'm turning myself over to God. He's going to lead me and guide me and give me the grace to do what I ought to be doing. I'm not going to spend my life selfish and self-centered, trying to take care of me and worry about me and what do I look and what do people think and is one hair out of place and, oh my gosh, what about this one pimple I have down here on my chin? Come on. Satan invades the minds of people with the poison of selfish self-centeredness.
Well, what about me? Well, what about me?
You know, all disobedience is related to selfishness. It started in the garden. Eve wanted the apple. Even though she knew it was wrong, she wanted it. The serpent told her how good the apple was going to be, but he didn't tell her about the consequences. Come on. There's consequences. When you play around with snakes, you're going to get bit. A little girl was walking down a mountain path. A little cute little snake was crawling along the mountain path. And it was very cold that day. And he said, oh, please, would you pick me up and put me inside your coat? No, she said, I'm not going to do that. He said, oh, please, oh, please, oh, please, I'm so cold. Please put me inside your coat and keep me warm. So finally she got talked into it. I said, finally she got talked into it. I said, finally she got talked into it. You know, the devil's a patient dude. Very deceptive. Suggests things to your mind. So after a little bit, he bit her. And she said, well, why did you bite me? I picked you up. He said, you knew what I was when you picked me up. Come on, you sweet, lonely lady, you. You go pick up a married man. You're going to get bit. Well, just saying. You know, the Bible's full of accounts of people that were selfish and thankfully people that were unselfish. I've probably got 8 stories of people that were selfish and 7 or 8 of people that weren't. And I wish I had the time to tell you all of them, but I don't. But, you know, Cain killed Abel because he was selfish. Joseph's brothers sold him into slavery and threw him in a pit and lied to their father because they were selfish. They wanted the relationship that Joseph had with his dad. He was the baby, and they were jealous because his dad had a little special place in his heart for him. King David committed adultery because he was selfish. I mean, God even said, I would have given you anything, but you had to take somebody else's wife. He committed adultery, committed murder. It affected his life. He remained king, and he was forgiven, and he still had a good relationship with God, but he still paid a price for it. Jonah was selfish, and he got swallowed by a whale. No, we don't have time for that. A rich young ruler held on to his riches and lost eternal life. A rich man had no concern for anyone but himself, and he lost all of his possessions in addition to his soul. These are just different stories in the Bible. But let me tell you a couple of good ones. Let's get to the good stuff. Let's look at 1 Kings chapter 17. Thank God we can change. Thank God we can change. You know, maybe tonight you're in here or you're watching by TV, and I don't know, maybe you're not even saved yet, and you're thinking, my goodness, I have just been so full of myself all my life. But you know what? I mean, tonight you can change. Tonight you can receive the new life of Christ by receiving Him as your Savior. Tonight, you can make a turnaround. You can let go of what lies behind, and you can become a brand new person with a brand new outlook. Tonight, you can say, I'm not going to spend my life trying to take care of me. On purpose, with God's help, I'm going to be a blessing everywhere that I go. And you don't just do it tomorrow because you're still in the afterglow of the conference. But you do it day after day after day after day after year after year after year. And all of a sudden, you'll be sitting somewhere telling people, I don't really know what happened in my life, but I'm so satisfied. You know, it sounds crazy, but I just feel like I get everything I want. And it doesn't make any sense. But you know, sometimes I sit around and think, now let's see, what would I like to have? And sometimes it's a little bit annoying because I can't even really think of anything. Now I know that you're probably thinking, oh, come on. You know, Jesus said, if you eat of me and drink of me, you will never hunger and you will never thirst. Now listen, you know, I like nice things and I like pretty stuff like any other woman does. There's a lot of things that I like. But, you know, having all those things still doesn't satisfy your soul. And so when you have that satisfaction in God, because you're bearing good fruit, you know you're in His will. Listen to me, please, 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 please. I'm old enough to know what I'm talking about. Wherever you're at, I've been there. The best way in the world to live is to get yourself off your mind and stay busy being a blessing to other people. I mean, it is so satisfying. And don't have some kind of a martyr's attitude, well, I just live for everybody else. You know, need to do it with joy. And probably one of the best stories in the Bible is found in Luke chapter 10, verse 27 through 37. Verse 25, and then a certain lawyer arose to test, tempt, and try him, saying, what am I to do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said, what is it written in the law? How do you read? And he said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your might, and you shall love your neighbor as you love yourself. And Jesus said to him, you have answered correctly. Now do this, and you will enjoy active, blessed, eternal life in the kingdom of God. And he, determined to acquit himself of reproach, because obviously he hadn't been doing it, said to Jesus, and who is my neighbor? Exactly who is it that I'm supposed to bless and help? People I like, people I don't like, people that have helped me first. You know, even when we get ready to help people, sometimes we're picky about who we're willing to help. I wonder what all we give up in our relationship with God in order to hang on to our things. Let me say it again. Always use money and things to bless people. Don't ever use people to get money and things. Well, who is my neighbor? And Jesus, taking him up, replied, a certain man was going from Jerusalem down to Jericho, and he fell among robbers who stripped him of his clothes and belongings and beat him and went on their way, unconcernedly leaving him half dead as it happened. And now by coincidence, a certain priest, this is such a powerful story because here comes the religious people. A certain priest was going down the road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. He crossed the street and went over on the other side so he didn't have to deal with the guy. Chances are he was on his way to church. A Levite likewise came down to the place and saw him, and you know, they were the religious crowd too, and he passed by on the other side. I wonder when somebody's in need, how many people God has to speak to before he can finally get someone to be unselfish enough to meet the need. But a certain Samaritan, as he traveled along, came down to where he was, and when he saw him, he was moved with pity and sympathy. You know, the only way you can really have compassion is to forget yourself. Because we either have self-pity or we have compassion. God doesn't want us to turn our pity inward on ourselves. He wants us to turn it outward toward a hurting world. And I wasted so much of my life in pity parties, sitting around feeling sorry for myself because somebody wasn't doing this, that, or some other thing for me. It's much better to have compassion. And he went to him and he dressed his wounds and he pouring on them oil and wine, and then he set him on his own beast and he brought him to an inn and he took care of him there. I mean, this guy is taking time. He's making an effort. He changed his plan. He was on his way somewhere. He took him to the inn and apparently he had some business to attend to. He said, you take care of him until I get back, and whatever it costs, no limits, whatever it costs, I'll give it back to you. Can we stop putting a limit on what we're willing to do for people and just say, Jesus, whatever it takes? I'm so glad that Dave didn't put a limit on how long he'd put up with me while he was waiting for God to change me. Come on, take the limits off of your goodness. Take the limits off of your generosity and just say, God, whatever it takes, whatever it takes. I'm not here to please myself or make myself happy. God, that's your job. I'm here to make somebody else happy. Do you see what I'm trying to say tonight? If you turn yourself over to God and you stop living to make yourself happy and trying to take care of yourself, now the burden's lifted. You use the life that Jesus has given you to be a blessing. In doing that, you're sowing a seed. Now God takes that seed and he brings back a harvest in your life of all the things that you were trying to get and never could get, trying to get them on your own. Come on now. It's time for a change. I said it's time for a change.
You know, the Bible teaches us so much, and Joyce encourages us in those areas. And I've learned so many things, but maybe one of the most important is what she just told us. To somehow, as hard as it is, get our mind off of ourselves and our own problems and to put them on someone else changes our life, and it makes the whole world around us better. So I know with the different places that I've been able to go through working with Joyce Meyer Ministries and our outreach arm, Hand of Hope, how important that is, not just because it makes my life better, because it makes me see all that other people around the world are dealing with as well. So we have a story for you right now that really just makes all this come home, and none of us saw this coming. So check out this clearly miraculous story, which will encourage you about the power of prayer.
Preaching is wonderful, and that's our number one thing to introduce people to Jesus. But I learned a long time ago, to be honest, some people are hurting so bad that they can't hear you when you say Jesus loves you. You have to show it to them. This is Marchette. She started coming to our clinic, and in 4 months, this is what she looked like. Now, that's why we do what we do. Amen.
We are very grateful to be here in East Africa at a malnutrition clinic that Hand of Hope is so blessed to be part of. And we see amazing things happen here. Children whose lives are literally at the edge of starvation, and God blesses us to be able to help them. But what I wanted to share with you today is kind of the other side, the things that we don't often share with you, the difficult times and sometimes the sad parts, I guess you would say, of serving the Lord. Because as you know, in your life, in every life, things don't always go the way you want it to go. And so when we first got here, we got some really difficult news. There's a little girl named Marchette, and she was one of those girls that came into the clinic in terrible condition. And she just flourished after being fed and being cared for, and her health was going so well. And so coming here, we were really looking forward to seeing Marchette and following up on her story and telling you how she was doing. But when we got here, we heard about tragedy. Just last week, she and her mother were on her way to this clinic, and a man on a motorcycle came up and told her mother that there was a police checkpoint coming up and that he would take Marchette to take her safely through that and then meet her afterwards. And the terrible reality is that since that point, Marchette's mom has never seen her again. So we just need you to pray. We want to ask you to be praying for Marchette and her mother, who's obviously heartbroken. And we are trusting God with this little girl's life and really praying for a miracle. That's what we're doing, and we want to ask you to pray for that with us. So we just got the most fantastic news that Marchette is found and back with her mom, and there is nothing that could make us happier in this moment right now. So we wanted right away to let all of you know too, because I know you've been asking, you've been praying, we don't have a lot of details, and right now we kind of feel like that doesn't even matter. We are just praising God. We're so grateful. Thank you, Lord, for what you have done in this life, this young life, and we know that He has an amazing plan for her. We have no doubt she's been through so much, and God is good. We're also grateful to Hand of Hope and Crisis Aid International and all of the local officials and the different people who really came together to find this little girl. And it just tells you what we can do when we come together as family and we pray and we work together and we cooperate and coordinate. So anyway, I'm pretty excited. Good news. We're all really happy, and we wanted to let you know as soon as we can. Thank you for praying. God bless you all. Bye.
Whatever ounce of energy that I ever have in my life, I will give it to God to see people's suffering relieved. Because I've not hurt like they have, but I've hurt enough in my life to know that it's not enough to say that's a shame. Somebody needs to do something. We are the somebody that needs to do something. Amen.
That was such an amazing moment to once again see how God answers prayer and to really witness a miracle, because that's what happened, especially in a situation like that. For her to be back home with her mom was miraculous. But there are many of you who have not received the blessing that Marchette and her mother received. Perhaps your story didn't end the way that you wanted to so far, or hasn't ended the way that you thought it would. I know that's true in my life a lot of times. Things just don't go the way we envision all the time. However, the healing power of God can change your story. Your story is not over. And sometimes we see what seems to be being taken away from us, but we don't see what God is giving us along the way. So whatever pain you're experiencing, God wants to heal you and to help you. So contact us today and discover a deeper relationship with our healer and redeemer. And I promise from experience, from Joyce, from me, from so many people who know that it's true, God is good and He loves you so much. And in conjunction with what Joyce was saying earlier about reaching out to others, sometimes in our own hurt, that's the first thing we need to do. We need to reach out to someone else so that we can get our mind off ourselves. And I know that it's difficult, but it makes a difference. So we invite you to come along with us to these places. Come along with us to feed hungry children, to reunite children and their mothers, to pull girls out of human trafficking. Your special gift today to our missions outreach, which we call Hand of Hope, will reach people all over the world. So we ask you to pray about it, do what God asks you to do, and make a call or go on that website right now to make a gift that will make a huge difference in people's lives all around the world. And we are praying for you as well.
You know, I'm in Thailand today, but we get to do things like this all over the world. And I want to thank you for your part. And I want to talk to you for a few minutes about the value of things that sometimes seem very little to us, how big they can be to other people. A plate full of food, a cup of water. The Bible says that faith, like a grain of mustard seed, is strong enough to move a mountain. I encourage you, even if you can give a little, to start with the little that you have and trust God to multiply it into greater things for you and for you to be able to help give to other people. Thank you for helping.
Today, for your donation of any amount, we'd like to send you Joyce's book, Faith That Overcomes. Contact us now, 1-800-727-9673. Or go to joycemeyer.org.
You know, I don't think we can fully understand how important it is to know the Word of God and apply it to our lives. And that's why I'm so very excited about the Biblical Commentary series. This can help anybody who thinks they don't know how to study or they can't understand the Bible when they do study it. It's very down to earth, very practical. I think you're going to really enjoy it.
The Biblical Commentary series, Ephesians and James. New from Joyce Meyer.
Everybody got it?
You need a battle strategy because you have a real enemy, and you can't win the battles if you don't know how he deceives you. At the 2019 Love Life Women's Conference, I'll teach you how to let God fight your battles. We're not wimpy, whiny women, and our God never quits. Now is not the time to surrender. We'll fight this battle together, and we will win.
The 2019 Love Life Women's Conference with Joyce and her guests, Christine Kane, Dr. Henry Cloud, Holly Wagner, Dave Meyer, Phil Wickham, Mandisa, Brian and Katie Turwald, Donnie McClurkin, Mac Brock. One conference, two locations, east and west. You do not want to miss this one. Seats will sell fast. Go to joycemeyer.org/lovelife and register today.
I love that magazine she sends out.
There's something in there for everybody.
It's just brought about so much change in my life personally.
It's always an encouragement for you to want to do more ministry.
Get your free subscription to Enjoying Everyday Life magazine today at joycemeyer.org. Read encouraging articles from Joyce, updates from Hand of Hope, and much more.
Reading through the magazine confirms for me that God's at work.
We hope you have enjoyed today's program. Please contact us or visit joycemeyer.org to share your prayer request, see the conference schedule, or partner with us in sharing Christ and loving people all across the globe. This program has been made possible by the friends and partners of Joyce Meyer Ministries.